Welcome to episode 14 of the Trendsetters podcast. I'm normally your host, Jesse Kay. Today's going to be an interesting episode. I recorded it with my good friend, Alex Myers. I've been getting a decent amount of requests from people for me to be interviewed on the show. So today's the day that we did that. Alex is a good friend of mine and was nice enough to do the interviewing part on behalf of me today. We switched spots. This was definitely the most personal I've ever went on any show or podcast I've ever done. We range anywhere from me talking about getting started in business to cold emailing and my 40 emails to get a response from Mark Cuban to a deep conversation on mental health and my experience with anxiety and panic attacks. I really, really enjoyed doing this episode. I really hope it helps any of you out there. And please let me know if you enjoy. Thanks again. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Trendsetter podcast. So you might be wondering why this voice sounds a little bit different, and that's because I am not the handsome, intelligent, go-getting, abnormal serial entrepreneur, Jesse Kay. My name is actually Alex Myers, and I'm one of Jesse's, what would you call me, Jesse, a friend and an acquaintance?
Yeah, friend. You can become best friend if you keep calling me those things, though.
Ah, it's a pretty good start so far. So I'm a current senior at Penn State University, and my passion for entrepreneurship led me to the Next Gen Summit, which is where I got the opportunity to meet Jesse, and we've been pretty close ever since. So I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to kind of flip scripts and let me interview you today, Jesse.
Yeah, as you guys probably heard in my intro prior to Alex coming on, I've been getting some requests for people that wanted to hear me on, which is I really appreciate. I hope this is an interesting episode, but Alex is interested in this space as well. So I thought it would be fun to have him interview me. Alex is a good friend and entrepreneur himself who goes to Penn State. We met at the Next Gen Summit. As you guys have heard before, Next Gen, I am super passionate about. Alex is a great guy, and I hope you guys enjoy this interview. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen.
Yeah, no doubt. So as you guys know, Jesse is the CEO of Vibra Media, a digital consulting agency that helps Fortune 500 brands, professional athletes, and business better connect. He's helped out famous people such as Brandon Steiner, Paul Rodriguez, and is also the true host of this podcast, where he's past guests have included Jack Dorsey, Adam Schefter, Gary Vaynerchuk, among a lot others. So Jesse, how about we dive right in?
Let's do it. I'm excited.
Awesome. So we're going to start it how we start a lot of normal podcasts. Jesse, for those who might not be a loyal listener, I know you have a couple thousand of those. Could you tell us a little bit how you got started with entrepreneurship, kind of outline your first couple businesses and where that started at a very young age?
Sure. Yeah, totally. So I was lucky to grow up in a household where my dad is an entrepreneur himself. So I got to learn just a bunch of different lessons about entrepreneurship and be inspired by him growing up. But going back, I mean, I've done so much random stuff in the business space, and I'd say 90% of them failed or didn't work, but they were great learning lessons. So I think the first one that I can remember, besides like the lemonade stand stuff that almost everybody does, was I think I was 9 years old and I started flipping shoes on eBay. So I'd literally take all my family's computers or iPads or whatever was out at that time and just try and I'd buy popular shoes when they were releasing from Nike, Jordan, whatever it was, for $180. If they were very hard to get, I'd try and flip them immediately on eBay or whatever platform it was for close to $300, $400. And if they didn't sell, I'd immediately return them or cancel the order. But it was a nice little side hustle as a child. And then I did a bunch of random stuff. I'm trying to think. I created an Instagram page where I'd edit like sports stuff. So I'd make sports edits. I did that for a little bit, which was definitely fun. I built, I think, an Instagram page up to like 1,000 or 2,000 followers, but it was just a fun little thing. And then obviously I started the podcast a couple of years ago and it slowly progressed into what I do today.
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit to your younger ages with flipping those shoes. I mean, that's not very a normal thing to do as a 9 year old. Think to buy shoes. And at that time, I mean, we're roughly the same age that it made sense that you would buy these shoes and then flip them. Let alone someone in college or someone older that does this as a full-time profession. How as a 9-year-old you like thought about that to do that?
I wish I could tell you. I'm weird, I guess. I don't know.
It's just, well, that's a given. That is such a given.
I've just always been into business. Like some kids are super into science from a young age and start getting into telescopes, or some people are super into sports. I played sports, but I was never amazing. Like it was just the thing I was super passionate about. I love shoes. I love sports. I love business. It sort of just tied in together. And that's sort of where I got my start. I wish I could give you a better answer on the real, I don't think there was any real reason behind it. It was just something I was passionate about. And I realized pretty soon that you could actually make some money off.
Yeah, I'm sure you're making a lot more than the other kids in your second grade classes.
Yeah, I thought I was a billionaire on those couple hundred dollars.
Yeah, I'm sure your parents are pretty impressed. But moving a little bit forward, so tell me about, so you were nine there, you had your sports edit page, and then you moved into podcasting, which, I mean, recently has been a super big trend. So many people listening to podcasts over music and cars. What kind of gave you the momentum to start your own podcast? And how'd you get it off the ground?
Yeah, so everyone thought I was crazy. No, in my high school, when I started it junior year, nobody even knew what a podcast was. And I don't really blame them. I didn't really know what a podcast was. See, either all I heard was it was a place you can interview people. And the reason I started it was I wanted to connect with some incredible people. I knew I'd been interested in business and I wanted to try and meet super successful entrepreneurs and business leaders. So I thought, hey, like if I just email them and say, hey, will you meet with me? I'd say there's a high likelihood they're not going to respond or say no because they're very busy people. But if I can try...
You did this all over email. You did this over email.
Yeah. So I thought if I was just to email them and say, hey, will you talk to me? They're all going to say no. But if I reach out to them and I say, hey, I have a podcast where you can connect with people my age and a younger audience and talk about your journey and inspire young people, I thought, hey, maybe I have a shot. So I really just started cold emailing people. I think I've said it before, but I cold emailed 300 to 350 people a day, every day for like 6 months to get people on. I did it before school. I did it during school. I did it after school. And it led to getting my first guests. And I heard from people I never expected I would hear from to come on the show.
So 300 emails a day, what was your kind of success rate on that? And if it was, which I'm assuming is pretty negative or even no responses, and what, how did you as such a young age high schooler, how did you take that no one was replying? Were you just waiting for that one to just be that breakthrough? How did you deal with 300 of working so hard at something? And what was the response about that?
Yeah, I mean, so at first I was super insecure with rejection and failure and all of that kind of stuff. And doing that kind of thing, you quickly realize that you have to have a pretty thick skin because you're going to get a lot of no's and a lot of no responses. The second I realized, wow, I really have a shot at reaching people was I remember it vividly. I was sitting on my bed. I probably sent 300 emails that day and I wasn't having much luck. It was very early on. I don't think I'd gotten any big guests yet on the podcast. And I remember I saw an email pop up from Mark Cuban and I was like, holy shit. And the email was basically him saying no, but he did respond and he said he'd answer them by email. So I remember emailing him thing super quick, like sprinting to my parents, celebrating. Mark Cuban just emailed me back. He was my idol growing up watching Shark Tank and all that. Came up with a couple questions, emailed it back and he got it right back to me. So the second that happened, I was like, wow, I can reach anybody. If Mark Cuban will respond to my email, anybody right. will respond to my email. I'm going to see if I can find this email. Give me it. Because I think it was, I want to find what I wrote to him.
Was your email yeah. template? Did you run it by your parents, or you as a teenager, you just were like, all right, I'm just going to make one template and just mass send it out to thousands of people at that point?
So I thought that a template was a good idea at heart. My only issue with it is nobody's going to respond to an email that was a auto message that was a mass spam. So I did right. have a general theme of a template I work with, but then I'd make sure to add like 2 to 3 sentences on every email personalized. Because I thought, obviously, somebody's going to respond way better if you're a direct email to them. Oh, I found the emails for Mark. So just for context, I'm going to read you all the email subject lines I wrote to Mark before he responded. Teen Entrepreneurship Podcast, February 13th. February 23rd, following up. March 7th, Teen Entrepreneurship Podcast. March 27th, following up. April 24th, following up. May 12th, following up. May 18th, following up. May 22nd, following up. May 25th. Following up. May 29th, following up. May 30th, following up.
Are you still following up right now?
Exactly. May 31st, response. Wow. So that was, I mean, I don't know how many emails I just went through, but I wrote many, many emails to Mark Cuban, and it's insane the amount of stuff I ended up sending, and eventually it worked. But I think that just showed, like most guests, a lot of people say no on the first time. So here's actually the first one. So at some point in March, I said, "Hi, Mr. Cuban, just following up, blah, blah, blah." And he writes back, "I don't have the time right now, Jess. I'm swamped. Good luck, M." And
it's at least a reply.
So the second I saw that, I was like, wow, I got a real shot. But then eventually I followed up with him a couple months later. And guys, I do not recommend following up every other day. It's a very good way to piss people off. But 16-year-old Jesse didn't really know that. But eventually I got to the point where I sent him an email and he ended up doing it. I mean, he responded. Here it is. I said, "Hey," I followed up in June. So he said no in March. This is June 5th, 2017. "Hey, Mark, I'd love to ask the two questions via phone or even Facebook Live. But if you don't have time, can I send the two questions via email? Let me know what works for you. Thanks so much for your time, Jesse K." He said, "Email." And I said, "Got it. Thanks. I'll send those over tonight." And I emailed him the two questions. And then he immediately responded. He gave me three different questions. He responded by email on the next day at 7 a.m. And that was the second I got that. I know that was a very long-winded response, but I think that just shows like the way you can go and get in touch with anybody. And the second I got that, I was like, wow, I really got a shot at getting in touch with some of these people.
Yeah. So talking about the power of just email, cold emailing, reaching out. You talk about a lot of these entrepreneurship stories where they had to bust through a meeting just to be involved or send out 1,000 emails or cold calls. It sounds like it's through connections and perseverance that you can get to where you want to be, that not one person in this day and age is unreachable.
Yeah, I think the power of having, if you have a Wi-Fi connection and a phone or a computer or iPad or anything that can access the internet, you can reach anybody in the world. I remember I emailed Bill Gates' office. I got a no. I emailed Jeff Bezos' email. I got a no. But the fact that you can connect with them as a 16-year-old at the time, you have no excuse not to at least try.
Exactly. Trying is,
and you're going to have to take a lot of rejections. A lot. I mean, I was a really annoying guy. I'm looking at how many emails. I sent probably 16 emails to Jeff Bezos, and the email that they sent back, "Dear Jesse, hope you don't mind my responding on Jeff's behalf. Thank you for your interest in talking with Jeff about his experience building Amazon. Unfortunately, and despite the fact that Jeff loves to discuss business and the future of students, because Jeff's time is constrained right now, he must decline. Thanks again for thinking of Jeff and good luck." So like, I'd say that's probably 95% of the emails I got back. But 5% were sure I'd be happy to.
Hey, that's not an awful average for talking to the 1% of the 1% of the world.
Not at all.
Entrepreneurship in general.
Not at all. Because remember, yeah, a lot of these guys were in the same space I was at the beginning of theirs. And a lot of them like to give back, I think, from what I've realized.
Exactly. So talking about a little bit more of your experience, while Mark Cuban may have given you a response via email, I want to dive in a little bit on how much Brandon Steiner has meant to you. Could you tell me a little bit more about the relationship, on how you guys came together and what you benefited from your time with Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, Brandon's great. I met him very early at the beginning of me getting involved in business when I was going to be a senior in high school. I interviewed him for my podcast. I met him through mutual friends, and he gave me the opportunity to intern for him, help build out his social pages and work for the company. And really, I had no business experience, so I obviously jumped at it. As I've mentioned in the show before, I left high school every day, senior year, at 11 a.m. to go straight to his office 45 minutes away. I'd work there till like 6 or 7. Some days I'd go back to his house and do some more work with him there, and then come back at 10 o'clock at night and repeat. But I mean, I learned so much business there. Like, less the fact of what the company was, and it was in the sports space, which I'm fascinated by, but more in the fact that he let me shadow him pretty much everywhere. So I'd be sitting in meetings all day, and it would be him, his CFO, his COO, and me. And the amount of info and knowledge and experience I got just from those 8 months of doing that, I mean, I use that every day in my business today.
Right. Yeah, and that's something special for him to include you in such a, what teenager is allowed to be in C-level meetings. I mean, the exposure you must have gotten from those meetings helps you with your day-to-day life even now.
Yeah, I mean, I learned so many lessons, and I don't think the other people at Steiner, or some of them were thrilled about this random 17-year-old kid walking around with a video camera trying to film content and sitting in his office, but it worked for the time being.
Right. So I want to talk a touch upon a word that really means a lot to me, and I think you embody it so well, is the word grit. So, I mean, you were the one that was sending 300 plus emails a day. You were cold calling. You were working for free sometime for part of your gear up to prove
most
that you
of
were
the time, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me more about what you think like the word grit means to you and how like grit has helped you be a successful entrepreneur.
Well, first off, I appreciate it. But I mean, I think that anybody can come up with an idea and anybody can really even start. But the ones that I think actually make it are the ones that just get down and do it.
Right.
I think a lot of people miss out on that part. And I think from the 100 plus people I've talked to for this podcast, everyone that's ever been successful has grit. You don't get to where you are with that, with giving up quickly or you taking no for an answer. Like perseverance and grinding it out. I think you can be the smartest person in the room, but if you put no effort in, the guy who has half of your intelligence, who is way, way, way more perseverant than you, is going to win every time.
Right.
In my opinion.
So what in your like brief definition, because there's so many definitions of grit, like if you were to sum it up in like one sentence, what would you kind of categorize that as?
Doing whatever it takes.
It's good. That's really good. So you talk about Steiner and how much he's meant to you. I know you came out with an article that was published about reverse mentoring. So a lot of that is I mean, general sense, you were mentoring Steiner as much as he was mentoring you. And I mean, definitely give a read to this article. I'm sure, Jesse, you put it on your platforms. I mean, if you just Google the article, comes right up. Can you tell me a little bit more about reverse mentoring and what that kind of means to you and how you benefited from Steiner, but then how you've kept the relationship and he's benefited from you?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a term that he came up with to me. He was like, this whole thing is reverse mentoring. I was like, what? He's like, no, this is reverse mentoring, helping you with business experience. You're helping me with all these social things that I have no idea about. But I mean, the gist of the article, I'll make sure to put it in the show notes. It's on CMO.com. If you look up CMO.com, reverse mentoring, I'm sure it'll pop up. But essentially, it talked about how people our age, and really anybody, has a huge advantage to get their foot in the door with almost anybody because you can provide value on things they're missing, especially Gen Zers to Gen Xers or Boomers or anyone who we're the first generation to grow up with a smartphone in our hand, like, and use Google and use social media. We know how to use it way better than they do. So with all of my clients, I sort of look to it as reverse mentoring. I'm learning how to reach the top of an industry from all these people that have done it. They're successful entrepreneurs, they're successful athletes, they're successful executives. But I get to teach them some of the stuff I've learned, and I'm nowhere near the best at it. But I definitely have some points that I think are interesting and have been valuable to them. So I think one of the biggest things people our age can do is leverage what your talent is and what people don't know, especially people you're trying to get in touch with, and just offer to provide value. Ask for nothing back. The first mistake of mentoring is asking somebody to be your mentor, in my opinion. I think it's a natural thing. Like the whole process of emailing somebody, hey, will you be my mentor? I mean, maybe it works. I just think it's way better to do it naturally and just meet somebody and provide value. And then it becomes a natural thing with any of my mentors. It's not like, oh yeah, are you officially my mentor now? Or are we officially in a mentor-mentee relationship? Like, it's just a natural.
Right, you got to make it like official. Let's make it official.
Yeah, are we going to make a contract for it? Like, it's just, they know that I can call them up and they'll call me up and we'll be helpful however we can.
That's awesome. So going back to that point of you helping out famous brands, athletes, serial entrepreneurs, multimillionaires, you're kind of finding a need in the market, but then attaching your talent to it. So how did you know that these moguls needed help with their social media platforms, their branding, and how did you cater your knowledge and education to kind of fill that need in that market?
So when I worked for Steiner, I'd like to think we did a pretty good job building out his stuff. We built up his assets. We did a bunch of stuff for the corporate accounts, but I realized like, with all the athletes that worked with Steiner and all the people I met through my work with him and elsewhere and people on my podcast, I realized a lot of them really are having trouble like using digital and social to grow, but also to monetize and really understand how to brand it all together. So I realized that like I kind of know what I'm doing with it. Once again, I'm definitely nowhere near the best, but I knew what I was doing and I really believed that we were capable of doing it to a great level. And I just started working with clients who were willing to take a shot with me. I don't know why they trusted a 16 or 17 year old to do it, but I'm grateful they did. And the second we had great results with them and became legitimate and had real case studies and referrals and references, I really just
What was that, Jesse? Talk me through that first meeting when you sat down, say next to a professional athlete or a brand, and you're like offering your services. Did they take that the right way? Like, how did you deal with the age gap and the knowledge gap?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really just comes down to talking about what you know you're good at and sort of staying in that lane. I remember vividly one of a meeting I had with a client who is a billionaire sports owner, and I literally sit down in his apartment and I'm terrified. I'm like, I really do not belong here. Like, like imposter syndrome. I was like, what did I do to end up here? Like a year ago, I was just sitting in, and I think the second I just started talking and talking about what I knew and like just focusing on what they need help with, you can gain credibility from anybody. It's just the second you start veering off into random stuff, that's when you lose it. But if you act professional and can give them real insights and help and data, nobody cares how old you are. I don't care how old somebody is if they're helpful to me.
Right. And it's all about perception. If you're inside, you're like, oh shit, what am I going to say? You might think that. But as long as you're delivering and providing value for someone, you can continue to maintain that business relationship. Because, I mean, time is money. If you're not providing statistics and an ROI for these individuals,
yeah, they'll move on quick. Yeah. They're not going to waste their time.
Exactly. So I want to get a little bit more personal. So I know you interview a lot of people and find out more entrepreneurially. I know you on a different level because we are pretty good friends. So I'm going to put you on the hot seat right now. Before this interview, Jesse said, you know what? I'm an open book. So let's see if I could stump Jesse.
How open I am? Yeah.
Let's see how open you are. All right. I'm going to ask you a couple. We'll start off easy and then just quick hot seat, fire these answers off, and then they'll continue to get more in depth. You might need to think about them for a second, but I want to hear your answers so these people can get to know you a little bit better.
Let's do it. It's been too many episodes for people to not know enough.
Too many. All right. So what is your favorite sports team?
Favorite sports team? Knicks, Yankees, Giants.
Okay. What is your biggest accomplishment thus far?
Wow. Already getting stumped early. I think I'd have to break that down into a couple categories. Biggest business accomplishment. biggest business accomplishment, I think, is just getting to the point I've been at. I'm super proud of myself for literally going from no clients to being able to work with some incredible brands and teams that I was praying that I'd be able to work with when I'm 40 and getting to work with them now. It's been an amazing journey and I'm super grateful for the people that have helped me there. And then I think on all other ends, I mean, I just care. Like, I'm happy I've been able to, I'm proud of the fact that I've been able to try and balance college with school. I think that would be my number one. The fact that I've been able to at least attempt to balance relationships, friendships, college, and running a business at the same time. I know there's some people that are listening that do the same, and I'm sure you can appreciate how it is not easy. A lot of people don't do both, and it's definitely a journey, but being able to balance that is something I'm really proud of.
Those are all good things. What is your ideal destination spot?
For vacation?
Yeah, vacation.
Oh, that's another hard one. Barcelona is an amazing one. I was there last year. I hope to go back maybe for a semester at some point. I want to get to Israel. I've never been there. I'm going to try and go this summer. In the US, I love San Diego and I love Miami.
All good spots. What is your biggest fear? Jesse, these are the layup ones too. These are layups.
Oh, you can see how good I am at answering questions then. This is going to be bad. My biggest fear is having regret.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that. What's one thing most people don't know about you?
If you've listened long enough, you know about my whole journey with anxiety and panic attacks from a young age and sort of my experience there. So that's sort of a deeper conversation we could definitely get into at some point. But on a lighter note, something most people don't know about me. I played center in football for 8 years.
How good were you? Were you college
bound? Snapper. I played at Giants Stadium for 20 minutes one day. Giants Jets game halftime.
Did your team win? Were you like one of those peewee players?
Yeah. Snap. We were great.
That's my son, number 68. What's your favorite podcast besides your own Trendsetters podcast?
So Trendsetters, no, I'm kidding. Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss.
Okay. What's one podcast you'd like to be on one day? Separate from those two.
Oh, separate from those two? How I Built This.
Okay.
That's another podcast I like, by the way.
What's one individual you want to have on your podcast in the future that you would be ultimate goal?
Elon Musk.
It's good. What is the best sporting event you've ever been to?
So actual sporting event, the Final Four. Best sports related event, the ESPYs.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that in a second. What is one conference? Because I know you want to expand your speaker engagement and your speaker platform. What's one conference you'd like to speak at either now or years down the road?
Speaking's fun. It's definitely not something I'm out pursuing, but when the right opportunities come, it's really fun. One place I'd like to speak, doing a TED Talk would be cool at some point.
I think that'd be really cool. What would your TED Talk be about?
I have no idea.
All right. We'll get to it. What's one of the greatest ideas you've ever had, but you've never pursued? And if that is trademarked or you don't want to release that, you could say NA to that one.
One of my best ideas. I mean, it's terrible. I have 10,000 ideas in my notes. sort of the way I go about it is if I think of it twice, I keep it on the list and write it down again. I mean, just going wide, I think there's a lot of stuff fucked up in the education space. And that's something I plan on pursuing at some point.
It's pretty good. What is the greatest piece of advice you've ever gotten?
Greatest.
See, these are the tough ones. These are the tough ones.
Greatest piece I've ever got of advice I've ever gotten. A couple of them. I'd say I've learned so much from my dad. I mean, just his whole thing of making sure you're strategic with what you do. Steiner has a good one. He always says it's not who you know or what you know, it's what you know about who, which is an interesting one that stuck with me. And just the general consensus of people telling me to make sure, like, I'm not in a rush. I'm lucky. I'm 19. Like, I have time. I often get in my head and I'm like, feel like I'm falling behind so many of my friends who are doing incredible things. And I think just my dad and everyone else telling me, slow down. Like, you're good. You're in no rush.
Right. Time is
hard.
It's key. I mean, it is hard when you see so many people going out there. Right. Exactly. So, I mean, constantly reminding, like, you'd like to make $1 billion tomorrow, you got to enjoy life along the process.
100%.
And I got one last question off the hot seat. What is an ideal person you would like to collab or go into business with?
Wow. My ideal person I would like to go into business with. I mean, the easy answer is Jeff Bezos. But somebody I'd like to go into business with. Yeah, I'll say Jeff Bezos as one of them. And then Roger Federer would be really cool.
Wow. What would you collab with him on?
I have no idea. I just feel like he'd be a really cool dude to work with.
I agree.
Or Drake. Drake, actually. Drake's
fine. Everything he touches turns into something good.
Exactly, yeah.
So I want to switch over a little bit to what you addressed a little earlier with your history with anxiety growing up and kind of where you're at today. I mean, I know you've talked about it on a couple podcasts before. You actually had your dad on into where you are now, especially kind of being in college. Could you give a little bit of recap? I know you struggled with anxiety in elementary school, into camp, and then on your teen tour. Could you tell us a little bit about that experience growing up? And then I want to see and ask you some questions about how you feel about it today.
Yeah, totally. It's something I enjoy talking about because I hope it could help somebody who was in the same spot I was. Ever since I was 9 or 10 years old, I've had terrible, terrible, terrible separation anxiety and panic attacks. It really started off when I went to sleepaway camp at 9 years old. The second I got there, I mean, I just had a meltdown. The camp said they've never, I don't know if this is good or bad, but they've never had a kid like me, is what their exact quote to my parents was. And then I was shutting down the camp, quote unquote. So I mean, terrible anxiety. I threatened to run away from the camp. And I think that's when they called my parents to come get me after 5 days. But any change for me was really tough. So transitioning from elementary school to middle school is a horrible transition. I mean, there would be some days I didn't go to school. Some days that I remember every morning for the first 2 months of middle school, I'd wake up at 6 a.m. and my dad would wake up with me and we'd walk up and down my driveway just to like get the anxiety out. I mean, hats off to my parents for handling me. I was not a very easy kid to deal with growing up, as I'm sure they would tell you. But yeah, I had terrible, terrible anxiety, panic attacks, separation anxiety. I went on a teen tour when I was 13 or 14 with one of my really good friends. Ended up having to have my parents fly out to Vancouver, Canada to come pick me up after 10 days. So I mean, it's something very close and near to me because it's still so, I mean, the way I look at it now is the second I found something I was truly passionate about, business, it completely changed everything for me, which is why I strongly recommend anyone that's dealing with it, find a passion and go all in on it. The second I did that, I mean, I used to not sleep over at my grandparents' house, who lived 10 minutes from my house because I had that bad separation anxiety. Now I'm totally fine going away for 2 weeks on a business trip or living at college. Like, it's a never-ending journey. I mean, it doesn't go away. I still get anxious and have panic attacks occasionally, but I've spent way too many years in therapist's office and with my parents and guidance counselors to work out coping mechanisms. But I think one of the biggest things people can do is, number one, talk about it. Don't be afraid to talk about it. There's a terrible stigma around it, which I think luckily is sort of moving in the other direction, and find something you're passionate about. And as I've said before, and I'll continue to say again, if I can ever help or if anyone's going through anything, 1000% send me a message. I was in your place. It does get better. I promise. I just posted something on my Instagram story very recently where I'm going to try and pull it up, but I had terrible, terrible anxiety. And I created this list. I think this was my freshman year of high, I'll pull it up right now, but it may have been my sophomore year of high school. But I just didn't feel like I fit into my school. I was into business and everyone else was like, what is this? And I had terrible anxiety. I really created a list of goals. And I think this is something anybody can do that's struggling with something. Write down your goals, write down where you want to be, and try and follow it. You'd be shocked what happens when you write stuff down. So here it is. I found it. So this is February 8th, 2016. Just as a reminder, exactly 1 year and a month later, on March 27th, I launched my podcast. So just for some reference. So I wrote, I am progressing in some, this is just on a piece of paper. I wrote down, so I was 16, I was a sophomore at the time. I was thinking about transferring high schools. I mean, I was not in a good place. I'm progressing in some issues, but still struggling in others. I feel somewhat insecure in some situations. I need to gain confidence and expand friendships. I want to feel accepted by people that have similar interests with me, find my group. I fear being alone and separated, literally and figuratively. So that's a little bit of the separation anxiety. I hurt when I'm alone or unable to do something. I hope I expand on all ends and create new friendships and connections. I hope I can live my life without restrictions, anxiety, separation anxiety, panic, stress. I know that I will find myself and my group in the future. So you'll see as it what goes from I hope to sort of affirmations. I can help myself towards accomplishing these goals. I will help myself towards accomplishing these goals. So that was one of the darker points of my life. Exactly a year later, I start my podcast. 8 months after I wrote this thing, I joined NextGen, met literally my five of my closest friends in the world who are all business people, my quote unquote drive. So when I go through it, I'm just looking back on now and it's insane. I feel happy and emotional reading it, but like going from feeling insecure to speaking in front of thousands of people and gaining friendships and all those things. Like if anyone's in that place, believe me, you will be able to do it. It's going to take work. I mean, if you just sit on your ass, it's not going to happen. But like, if you put in effort and do stuff, you'd be shocked what can happen. I mean, this was 3 years ago, literally almost 4 years ago. And the amount that's changed in my life is unbelievable. So I hope that gives some reference.
Yeah, for sure. And it must have taken a lot for someone at that age to write down that list. And then you fast forward into where you're at now. I know you post that on your social media with your thousands of followers that follow you, and you're open enough to talk about it and you not hide behind closed doors. You posted about it. like those words that you just said, and now you're mentioning it to even a broader audience who don't even follow you on social media platforms. Talk about that a little bit on how you are open with it and how you've kind of in recent years, while you may have not as been super open about it in those high school years when you were feeling that, how you've kind of opened now that you're a pretty successful entrepreneur and have this platform to share your story with people that may be in your shoes.
I mean, for me, it was really just a insecure, first feeling confident in myself kind of thing. High school, I was very insecure. I didn't believe in myself. And then it got, once I started business, I realized I only care what a few people think of me. My family, my closest friends and people I care about and look up to, everybody else, I don't give a, you know what, about what they care. And the second I made that switch, it's like, why would I not be open about it? Like, all I could do is help people. If people look down on me because I went through all that stuff, then fuck them, to be honest. Like,
exactly.
I wish that there was somebody sharing what I'm doing when I was in that space to look at and be like, wow, it really is possible. Because obviously your parents and therapists and anybody could tell you that. But until you see somebody really that's close to your age doing it, it's different. So my whole thing is, if I can help one person make some improvements, feel better about themselves, take some forward steps, then my mission is accomplished.
There you go. I'm sure you'll inspire someone on this podcast at least. And I want to go back to those friends that you mentioned with your core group of friends that you've met at NextGen or through entrepreneurial experiences. So you have a lot of successful entrepreneurship friends and you're in this network and networks grow and you introduce people to others. What would you say the thing that separates you and the qualities of you and your friends, your supportive group of friends, into how you guys have turned into successful business people?
I think, I mean, it's the cliche thing, but I think it's true that you're really the average of the 5 to 10 people you surround yourself the most with. And that doesn't need to be physical. My closest friends, I mean, one of them lives in Minnesota, one lives in Florida, one lives in Georgia, one lives in Ohio, one lives, I mean, they live everywhere. You're in
Pennsylvania. Don't forget Portland.
Yeah. One's in Oregon. Like, they're around the country, but I talk to them daily. I probably spend 3 hours a day on the phone with them, mixed through, just talking business, talking life. And I think having people that are your age going through the same struggles and same experiences and same highs and same lows has been incredible. It's been just an amazing journey to be able to do with some of my closest friends now who are going through the same things and having incredible success.
So talk about your network and that average of 5 people. While the teenage entrepreneurs listening to this, how do they get involved in a network or surrounded by those 5 average kids? Because in high school, I'm sure you didn't find those 5 average kids. No. You were always accelerating in some aspect. How do you get involved in a network and surround yourself with like-minded people? Because I'm a firm believer that you're the same, you're the average of the 5 people. So surround yourself that with people that make you better, whether that's in the classroom, on the football field, you as a person developing as an individual, how do people gain that network when they might not have the resources?
It really, I think, comes down to find people that have the same passions as you. Like, there's going to be people with the same passions as you. It's tapping in. So for me, that was joining NextGen, NextGen Summit run by Dylan Gambardella and Justin Lafazan. I mean, it's a group of thousands of young entrepreneurs. And we all went to this conference knowing nobody at 16 years old and made literally the 5 of us there became best friends. Like, it's insane how just one decision can change your life. I would highly recommend you all to go check out a group surrounding your interests. It doesn't matter if it's music or business or whatever. Find something that you're passionate about and find there will be other young people interested in it. And then make sure you just stay in touch. Like, don't let distance throw you off. Like I said, my closest friends live around the country and I see them, I don't know, 5 to 6 times a year tops, but I talk to them daily. It's very doable. In high school, you have very nice friends, and I'm friends with tons of people from my high school, but they don't go through the same experience or journey that you're going through.
No doubt. And I definitely commend you on that. I mean, Jesse, you and I talk a lot, and even though we are hundreds, I mean, sometimes with some of your friends, you're thousands of miles away, you continue to be able to create, connect relationships, build relationships through phone calls. It's making the effort, FaceTiming, it's sending the messages, asking how you can help. It's a lot of people with their day-to-day jobs, with their school, I'm not saying connect with thousands of your friends on a daily basis and you need to text every single person from high school, but it's those five people that you talk to on a daily basis that make you better. And I don't think you would be reaching out to them on a daily basis if they weren't making you better, stronger, smarter.
I'd say that's generally true. The only exception on people I talk to frequently that don't help me is when I talk to you. I think I get stupider.
Yeah, that is.
No. Yeah, everyone I talk to, it's a mutually relationship. I try and help as much as I can, but I mean, I get incredible friendship and advice and everything from everyone I talk to.
No doubt. And I think what you touched upon within your network, I mean, join those Facebook groups online, connect with people on LinkedIn, Google successful young entrepreneurs, create a network, join, if you're in college, be active, join an entrepreneurship club, join a random club that you're passionate about, that you'll make friends and join a network. A network is key. And I mean, I have NextGen to thank to meet Jesse, and I mean, Jesse introduced me to people, but that community and the power of community is just pivotal in changing the world and making business better all around.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So I got one last question and then go into a little bit of your future plans. So obviously you've been very impressive with your podcast, with your business. I know you're going to focus on some things moving forward. What is one piece of advice you would give a young entrepreneur, and one piece of advice you would give someone that maybe parents' age or middle age in their career, if they want to get into the entrepreneurship space, if they want to start their own company? What's piece of advice you would give to both of those groups of people, if not the same piece of advice?
Yeah, it's the same theme, two different deliveries. I'd say for a kid, start now. My one regret is that I didn't start sooner. I mean, people wait for the right time or the perfect time, and that's BS. It's like, you're never going to have a perfect time. Start now. You're going to mess up at the beginning a lot. It's not going to be great, but just start. Having something's better than having nothing. Read 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel. Like, just start. For adults, I'd say, I mean, I don't know if I'm in the right place to give advice, but I mean, I'd say don't be afraid to go. Like, sure, you'll be safe in your job, but once again, my biggest fear is regret. Like, if you have that idea of something you really want to go for, don't let your age or kids or responsibilities prevent you from pursuing it. You can do it at night. You can do it in the mornings. Like, you can make it work if you're that passionate about it. Like, just the whole idea of regret just scares me a lot.
That's good. So now you're moving forward with no regret. So talking about regret, you got a big decisions coming up with your business, with going to school. What are you currently working on? How is Stevens? What is your plans moving forward with school academically and about your business?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in an interesting spot. Just considering, I mean, I'm in first semester of sophomore year of college. Business is growing. I'm considering some new business ventures as well to what I'm doing right now. I think I'm just at a point in my life where a lot of decisions will come. And as my dad always tells me, there's no right or wrong. There's just a decision. That's one of the better pieces of advice too, going back on your question from earlier. There's no right or wrong. It's just a decision. So, I mean, I'm going to continue to do what I do now. I love it. I'm going to stay in school. I mean, I'm this far in. I really think I could do both. And I'm going to continue to pursue some of my passions that are coming up.
What are some of those passions? More business related or kind of growing as an individual with other things?
Both. I mean, continuing to become more well-rounded. I've been so focused on business stuff the last couple of years that like I've missed out on some important things. I mean, I've maintained relationships and friendships and doing that, but you know, having fun still. I mean, I'm 19. So making sure I still don't miss out on everything. But then on the business, I continue to explore stuff in my passion. So sports, education, technology, all of that.
Awesome. Awesome. So I want to end with, tell us a little VIP or exclusive. I mean, you tell me these stories all the time, but give me a story that it sticks with you, whether it be the ESPYs this past year, or a meeting with Steiner. Give us a little bit of VIP, Jesse, of what your daily, a crazy story that really happened to you.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I'll give two. One of them is being in a helicopter with Joel Embiid and Meek Mill going to a Patriots game. That was one of the craziest days of my life. But one I can go into more detail on was the ESPYs for sure. So through, I was out in LA for something sort of connected to ESPN, a speaking thing. And then just by chance, I ended up getting tickets to the ESPYs and ended up on the red carpet, which was insane. It was so much fun. Then got to sit very close to the stage at the ESPYs, ended up going to the ESPN party after, and somehow got my way into LeBron's uninterrupted party after. And that was the craziest night of my life. I mean, I had a flight at 5 a.m. the next morning. I don't think I went to sleep. But it was unreal. That night was one of the crazier weeks and nights of my life. I mean, I wrote down a list of who was there because I couldn't believe it. It was LeBron was there. Lonzo Ball was there. Anthony Davis, Dwight Howard, Pat Mahomes, Odell, Adrian Peterson, Todd Gurley. It was unreal, the amount of people there.
So you heard her here first. Jesse's going to drop a shoe with Todd Gurley just because you meant about the after party, right?
100%. Yeah, it's already. And Drake's going to come out with a song about it.
There you go. Exactly. So Jesse, let's wrap up a little bit here. How can young entrepreneurs get in contact with you? What is the best way moving forward? I know you talked about anxiety a little bit, but future business plans, continuing to grow your network, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Totally. Yeah, I'd love to connect with anyone. This is weird, me saying it on my own podcast. Anyway, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'm super active on there. Jesse.K11, JESSE.KAY11. You could check out our site, Viber Media. Vibermedia.com or trendsetterspodcast.com. Shoot me an email, JESSE@vibermedia.com. And I'd love to connect with anyone.
That's great. I really hope some girl wrote that down because please, I'm begging as Jesse's friend, get him a girlfriend. He needs to stop calling me and our other friends several times a day. He needs a girlfriend. So please, you got the email right there.
You said it, I didn't.
I said it. Take him on a date. Get to meet this entrepreneur. It was amazing interviewing you tonight, Jesse. Thank you so much. And hopefully all your listeners got a little inside scoop on the Jesse that myself and your close friends and your family know.
No, I appreciate it. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I hope everyone enjoyed and I look forward to having an episode interviewing you down the line.
For sure, Jesse. Thanks.
Have a good one. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. As always, go join our community at join.trendsetterspodcast.com where you can get some exclusive content, including one question per episode that is not aired publicly, only to people that are part of our community, in addition to some weekly advice and news on the marketing and podcasting industry from me. Also, I'd love to hear your questions, comments, concerns, and anything else. So shoot me an email at jesse@trendsetterspodcast.com. And then you can always reach me on my Instagram at jesse.kay11. Thanks so much and looking forward to the next one.